Would you open your Bible up to Acts chapter 24? Acts chapter 24. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. We're so glad that you're here today. We're so glad that you come to hear the Word of God. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 24. We're doing a series called Living Free from Offense. Today we're going to talk about Don't Take the Bait. As a matter of fact, ushers, if you'll get the lights, let's just start off. Kristen, do we have that clip? Where is Kristen? Do they have that clip ready? I want to show. Everybody say, I'm smarter than a fish.
I'm smarter than a fish.
She's coming. I'm sorry, honey. I know you probably weren't expecting me to show that, but I just think we need to go ahead and show it right now. Say, I'm smarter than a fish. You know, when it comes to offenses, sometimes we really have to guard our hearts because it is the bait of Satan to get us out of the plan of God. Say amen, somebody. It is. He wants us to get offended. You know, people get offended about the littlest things. You know, you go to Africa, and I've been to Africa several times, and, you know, we have great music. Would you all agree?
Amen.
Great worshipers, great singers. I was at a church in Africa, and they had this one of these little it was the old-time fold-out tables, you know. And three ladies just started beating the drum beat on those tables. I mean, bump, 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 bump. I'm telling you, that place was worshiping God, the wildest I've ever seen in about 10 minutes. We were having one of the most exciting worship services that I have ever been in, all just by three ladies beating on top of a table. And, you know, we have to guard our heart that we don't... We've got it so good, we're so blessed, that we don't get spoiled. Say amen.
Amen.
We don't want to be spoiled. Because, you know, the devil can make that bait... He can make that bait look very alluring. He can make that bait look very enticing, bright and shiny. But, you know, the bait's got a hook in it. The bait of offense has a hook in it, and that is to pull you off the plan of God, to get you out of the will of God, to get you hurt. Honey, let's look at this video here. I want to show you a few folk here taking the bait. Now, don't that look pretty? Look at there. Don't that look pretty? Uh-oh, somebody's fixing to get it. Do you think if he knew if there was a hook in it, he would grab it? Oh, there you go. Now, watch this. That almost looks good enough to eat myself there. Look, oh. There he goes. Now see, but you know, do you think if those fish recognized that there was a hook in that that's going to set in their jaw that they'd grab that bait? Huh? Look, there's three of them trying for it. See, we need to recognize that bait. Look at there. Sometimes, folks, I wonder, look at this. What's this here? Are we smarter than a fish? Everybody say, I'm smarter than a fish. I'm not going to take the bait. See, the bait of offense, thank you, that's good. I think we saw enough there. The bait of offense is to get you, thank you guys, you get the lights back on, is to get you and I out of the plan of God. If it can get us, if the devil can cause us to be offended, you remember we ended last week talking about off-ended, getting us off ended, where we get upset, we get frustrated about life. We talked last week about five ways. Let me just review real quickly that you can keep from being offended. Number one, simplify your life. Live within your financial means. Quit looking at the Joneses. Quit comparing your life to other people's lives. Say amen.
Amen.
See, we don't want to compare our lives. We don't want to, listen, we don't want to get into the trap of comparing our church to other people's churches. We've got a commission of God. We've got a call of God, just like other places do. We need to do our part. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
See, you get to looking at your life and you're thinking, well, I just don't quite measure up. It's the bait. It's the bait of offense. We need to put our expectation more on God than on people. People will always fail you. People will always let you down. If you're looking to people, you're setting yourself up for self-sabotaging. Because you sabotage yourself, become offended, and get right out of the plan of God. Amen? Everybody say, do your part. These are ways that we can avoid offense. See, if you're sitting... I love what Alan Spiegel put on... He said this last week. I love this quote. He said, in a church family, you're not doing your part to become a part of the family. You're doing your part because you are a part of the family. You do your part in church because, you know, I can remember when I was growing up, some of you ladies may be amazed at this, but I had to have my turn of washing dishes. Amen. I mean, we did a cycle every, we're four children, so every day one of the children had to wash the dishes. I had to wash dishes. See, if you don't do your part in the family, you're always going to feel like you're outcast in the family. You're always going to feel like, well, I just don't fit in. But there's a part that you have to do. There's a place that you have to play in every part, in every family. When you know you fit in a family, get in there, get involved, get and do your part. Amen? And we talked about keeping our eyes on the prize. Keeping our eyes on the prize will keep us from being offended. We're going to talk today now about don't take the bait. Turn with me to Acts 24. Did I have you to turn there yet? Look in Acts 24. Look in verse 15. Don't, everybody say, don't take the bait.
Don't take the bait.
Acts 24, verse 15. And this is Paul speaking. He says, and having hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, of the just and the unjust. Now, we talked about heaven and hell for a few weeks there. We went into the series talking about heaven and hell, and we talked about one of the reasons that we want to keep ourselves free from offense is because if the devil can get us to take the bait, slow us down, get us out of the plan of God, when we do die and go to heaven, when we do participate in the resurrection of the just or the unjust, when we go to heaven, we will have rewards that we can present to the Lord through the resurrection of the just. The more offense we walk in, the more bitterness we walk in, the more unforgiveness we walk in, it causes us to fail the grace of God, which in turn ends the production or the producing of fruit in our lives that Jesus said God was glorified by. You know, I can remember one time this man, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, Beth and I were going to this church one time, and this man got born again, and he was so thrilled about being born again, and he had been saved, I guess, maybe 6 or 8 months, and started in the visitation program at church, and he went witnessing with us. You know, we had, you know, wouldn't hurt us to have a little bit of that around here. We're on Mondays and Thursday nights. We had visitation where, you know, you'd visit folks, but anyway, this man won this fellow to the Lord. He actually caused this guy to get born again, led him to the Lord. This man received the Lord as his Savior. And, you know, after this man received Jesus, this other fellow that won him that had been saved for about a year, he totally quit coming to church and quit being involved with God and everything. And took some sort of offense at the kingdom of God, which if he hadn't have taken that offense, what a great soul winner he would have probably have been. What a great person to witness and talk to people about the Lord. Can you see the plan of the devil is to get you to take the bait?
Yes.
Taking the bait is just not worth it because it's got a hook in it.
Yes.
Amen. Look here what he says. Verse 15, and having hope toward God, which they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now notice verse 16. And herein I do exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men.
Hallelujah.
See, you can have a heart of offense toward God. I remember one time, my mom, she's not here today, but she was telling me her sister. And I can remember when her sister passed away as a young woman, died as a young woman in her maybe 35 to 40, in that age bracket. And my mom told me for a long time, she said, I was really offended at God. She said, I thought God allowed it or God caused it. And then, of course, you know, you grow in the Word and the things of God, and you begin to see that God doesn't cause a lot of those things to happen, doesn't cause and allow those things to happen. And she said, the point she was making was, I had to release that offense toward God. Now, you know, God can also be offended at you. You remember when Jesus was telling Peter and the disciples he was going to go to Jerusalem and they were going to crucify him? And Peter said, not so, Lord. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for you don't savor the things of God, but the things that be of man." You remember that? See, we can offend God in our lifestyle. So Paul is writing here, he's saying, I train myself that I am free from an offense toward God or toward man. And so we want to guard our hearts that we're not offended, that we don't get offended. Offense is a thief that will rob you of the life of God. It will rob you of the plan of God for you. It will rob you of the intentions that God has for your life if that offense is buried up in your heart. Now, I want to talk with you a few moments. I've got so much of this to share. I was only thinking this was going to be a two-part series, but I think it may be longer than that. But I want to talk to you about things that bring offense, things that can bring offense to us, things that can cause us to be offended. In Mark 4:17, Jesus said, listen to this, Jesus said they were offended by the word. They got offended because of the word of God that was preached to them. They got offended and because, see, one of the things the word will always do, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but if you're not a student of the word and you start reading the word, you start looking to the word will contradict your personal beliefs. Have you ever had the word to contradict your personal beliefs? I've had the word to contradict my personal beliefs a lot. You know, when you get something that maybe your grandmother taught you or maybe just your own opinion, and especially people that are real opinionated have to watch out about this. You know, especially people that just have a real strong opinion, that are really opinionated about life and God and the things that they think they know. You know, I've told you that story. Remember me telling you the story about when I got born again? See, my dad's side of the family was Church of Christ, and my mother's side of the family were Pentecostal Holiness people. And if you could imagine those two groups coming together, well, every time you get together at a holiday or Thanksgiving or a group of family get together, well, inevitably they start talking about the Bible. You know what I mean? They start talking about what they believe about the Bible. Of course, none of them did it. You know, none of them lived it. None of them walked it out, but this is what they believed about the Bible. Well, you know, you take that year after year after year after year, before you know it, you've got opinions formed about what the Bible says that really the Bible didn't say it at all. And when you start studying the Word of God and you get into the Word of God, Jesus said the Word can offend you. And immediately, he said, immediately Satan can come and take that Word away from you that you received in your heart because you got offended. What's the answer for that? Well, the answer for that is humbling ourselves before the Lord and not being, you know, not being opinionated and having a single focus but not a narrow mind. That ought to be good enough for somebody to write down. I said having a single focus but not a narrow mind. We've got a single focus, that's the kingdom of God, but we don't want to be narrow-minded. Amen? We don't want to live a narrow-minded life. So we want to guard against when the word is preached to us. Persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake. It'll come to your life to keep you from submitting to the will of God for your life, because the devil knows if you submit your life to the will of God, you're going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And let me tell you something, if you hadn't figured this out, he doesn't want that to happen. The devil does not want that to happen. And if he can get us tripped up, listen, one of the things that we want to guard against, and that's having a worldview. We don't have a worldview. We've got a biblical view. Say amen, somebody. We don't look at things through the way the world looks at things. We look at things through the way the Bible looks at things. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then we don't accept it. Amen. Amen. We have to make that stand. We have to make that stand in our lives to not be offended by the Word. Another thing that offends us is, listen, not wanting to do things God's way. Have you ever been offended by God wanting you to do something His way and you didn't want to do it that way? Surely none of us have. Surely. Doing it God's way. You remember the story over in Matthew 15 when Jesus was preaching and Peter came to Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you know that the Pharisees are offended at what you taught and what you said? Don't you know that they're offended? And you know what Jesus said? I tell you, listen, some of us really need to get a hold of this. Really need to get a hold of it. You know what Jesus said? Here. Does anybody want to know?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You know what Jesus said? Call them up and try to get them to come back.
Oh, no.
Run after them and see if you can get a hold of them, because the kingdom is going to sink if they're not there.
Oh, no.
You know what Jesus said to do? Jesus said, leave them alone. Yeah, he said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. He said, every tree that my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be plucked up anyway. In other words, if it's not of God and it's not done God's way, it's not going to last anyway. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be fretful. We don't have to be anxious in our lives. We don't have to try to listen. We don't have to try to persuade everybody to believe the way we believe. Why? Jesus said, if they're offended, leave them alone. See, we can take that offense, because when Jesus begins to preach about covenant, see, when Jesus begins to talk about us in covenant, living a covenant lifestyle. If you remember over in John chapter 6, Jesus started talking about taking of my flesh, drinking of my blood, eating of my flesh. And the Bible says, everyone left him except his disciples. He turned around to them and said, do you all want to go too? He says, does this teaching offend you? That's what he said in John 6. When he was teaching about covenant, he said, does this teaching offend you? He said, open up your eyes, because you're going to see things in the Spirit. He said, you're going to see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You're going to see things here that could really change your whole life. He said, open up your eyes, because it is the Spirit that profits. The flesh profits nothing. But see, listen. They were looking for something in the flesh and missed his teaching about drinking of his blood and eating of his body, eating of his flesh. They got offended at that. A lot of people get offended at covenant teaching. You know why people get offended at covenant teaching? They get offended at covenant teaching because it leaves man out. It leaves man out. It's not something by might. It's not something by power. It's not something by the strength of human flesh. And when there's no flesh, human might, or power, some people get offended because I did it my way. Honey, let me tell you something. You can do it your way if you want to. I want to do it God's way.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to be people that when we have sung at our funeral, I did it my way, do we? Huh? We don't want to be people that are at our funeral that have had such an opinionated life that we can't be open to God correcting us and God directing us. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says, when you receive correction, don't get upset, don't get offended. Correction is not rejection, it is direction. Amen. Correction is not rejection. It's giving you direction. We need to always keep our heart open to the Lord. Keep our heart open to His plans and His purposes, His ways of doing things, His giving us direction, His giving us leading in our lives. We always need to keep our hearts open to that, because listen, we don't want to be the group that gets offended at just the little bitty thing. Listen, our responsibility is to grow up into Christ. You know, I have experienced this over the years, and I was just talking to the Lord about this week. Turn over to Luke 17. I want to show you something here. Luke 17. This is so good. Luke 17. I remember one time I had an opportunity, one of the best opportunities you've ever seen in your life, to be offended. Has anybody here ever had an opportunity to be offended? Did you take the bait? Sometimes, yeah. Oh, man, I tell you what, it hurts when you take the bait. I'm telling you. Whoo, I've taken the bait. Lord have mercy. Hadn't I taken the bait, Beth? Occasionally? All right. Boy, you're so smart. All right. She's smart. See, have you ever met just mean, hard, hateful, angry Christians? Has anybody here ever met them before? Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental or condemning. I don't want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear my heart in that. But if somebody is mean and angry and hateful as a Christian, okay, hear me in this. usually they're trying to overcome an inward offense by an outward appearance of faith. See, a mean, hateful, angry Christian is usually trying to overcome an inward offense by an outward appearance of faith. You're with me now. Like, okay, how would I do that? Well, see, when I first got saved, like I was telling you a while ago, one side of my family was Pentecostal Holiness, the other was the Church of Christ. And I thought, this was my thinking about being a Christian. Now, this was my thoughts because of all that I'd heard. You know, my thoughts were wrong, but this was my belief anyway. Are you with me? My belief system was that as a Christian, you had to live your life like you were walking a tightrope. And if you fell off that tightrope on one side, God would kill you. And if you fell off on the other side, the devil would. Did anybody feel that way? That you got to understand, there's a lot of Christians living their life that way. They're living their life out of a fear that is not godly. That's not right. I know we're supposed to walk the straight and narrow path. There's a truth to that. But you take a Christian that is so fearful of God on one side and fearful of the devil on the other. They're setting themselves up for offense. They're setting themselves up for sabotage. They're setting themselves up because there's nobody that can walk that tightrope. Jesus said that we cannot walk that tightrope. He said that it's been said unto you that if a man murdered someone, they were in danger of hell. But he said, I'm saying to you, if you get angry with somebody. So what we want to do here is we want our faith to be genuine. Now, faith is of the heart. It can't be, your faith life is your heart life. Your faith life is not something that is outward that you're trying to do to show someone that you have faith while all the time you're harboring bitterness and offense in your heart. Are y'all with me this morning? Yes. This is good stuff, isn't it? Amen. I tell you what, we ought to take up another offering. You see what I'm saying? We've got to guard our hearts. Notice what Jesus said here in Luke 17, verse 1. He said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Now notice verse 3. Take heed to everybody else. Huh? He said, take heed to yourselves. In other words, when you feel that offense coming towards you, I'm about to get mad at that church. I'm about to get mad about... Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to tell that pastor what for. Now, I never have minded anybody coming to talk to me because I'm telling you, some of y'all have really helped me to come and talk with me. Amen. Don't mind that. And you know, that's biblical. You know, we shouldn't be so closed off that we can't receive from people and correction. That's what I'm saying. But the attitude that's done in. See, if you're harboring offense in your heart, that offense, listen to me, Jesus said, it is impossible, but offenses will come. But when they come, take heed to everybody else. Go straighten it out. Get it figured out. Or just abandon your post and leave. Is that what he said to do?
No.
Let's just abandon our post. We can just, you know, we're not talking about God here. This is just the big fella in the sky, the big bearded one in the sky. No, we're talking about a life with Almighty God, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the King of Kings here.
Yes.
Say amen, somebody. So what Jesus is saying here is a truth that when offense comes and we feel like we're just about to take the bait, take heed to yourself. Don't grab that lure. Don't grab that lure. Don't you do it.
Take heed. Take heed to yourself. He didn't say take heed to everybody else. He said, don't try to say, well, I'm just a person that solves everybody's problems. You are. So I'm just going to sacrifice my life so everybody, no, you're not the sacrifice. We're not the sacrifice. Can you say amen? Amen. See, if we think we're the sacrifice, then we're going to be people that have to walk a tightrope in life. Jesus said, take heed to yourself. I remember one time I was this same visitation program that this fellow I was telling you about earlier. I was on this visitation program. And I know I've maybe shared this story with you before, but it's so good I got to repeat it. And so we were out inviting people to church, just canvassing the neighborhood, you know, just inviting people to church and talking to people. And so this old man was sitting up on the porch, you know, and I walked up to him and I said, hello, my name is Ron Allen. I'm with Westview Baptist Church. I said, I want to, he cussed me everything you could think of, turned it around and cussed me again, you know. And I'm just standing there. I'm thinking, my thought was, you know, when you get saved and you start witnessing to people and everybody's just going to love you and life's going to be great and no problems and God's just good and all that, you know. But here, Mr. Narge DeWee. And Mr. DeWee, if you're listening to this, praise God, I know you are. We're just using it for a good testimony today. Amen. But Mr. DeWee just cussed me up one side, down the other. He said, you get the... I'm not kidding you. I mean, I stood there and took it for about just as long as I could. And finally, he stopped. And I said, I'll see you later. And so I left Mr. DeWee's, you know, and he got on my heart. He really got on my heart. So I thought, well, you know, it's, you know, late summer, early fall. I'm going to just go drive by there and just see if he's out on the porch. So sure enough, he's sitting out on the porch. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go up and see Mr. DeWee, you know. So I went up and I said, hello, Mr. DeWee, do you remember me? He said, and it started again, you know. It wasn't as bad the second time as it was the first time, but he let me have it anyway. So I ended up just sitting there talking with him for just a few minutes. I couldn't hardly take it much. It was just my little tender young Christian conscience. You know, I just thought, Lord, have mercy. I just couldn't take it. But nevertheless, the Lord wouldn't leave me alone. So I ended up going back. And I said, the third time I went back, I said, Mr. DeWee, I said, is there anything that I can do for you? He said, well, yeah. He said, you can go to the... He said, I don't have any milk and bread. And if you could... He didn't have a car. He said, if you could go to the grocery store for me. Ended up being a... 3-year-long relationship with Mr. DeWee. He ultimately fell in his apartment and broke his hip and laid in the floor for like 3 days. And ended up, his neighbor finally heard him hollering and they took him to the hospital. Now listen, this is God. Now I'm telling you, this is the way the Lord works. A woman that taught, Gail Buckner, she taught over at the high school. Some of y'all may know her. She was walking down the hall at the hospital. And she said, just as plain as I'm talking to you, I met her later, didn't know the story till later. She said, just as plain as I'm talking to you, the Lord spoke to me audibly and said, go into that room and witness to that man. Never met him before in the day of her life. She went in and said, introduced herself, met Mr. DeWee. And she said, do you know Jesus? He said, no, but I want to. So he accepted the Lord, got born again right there in that hospital bed, received Jesus into his life. And a short time, I didn't know all of that, see, but I went back. I mean, we still had a relationship and I didn't go every day, every week, but maybe every other week or so. Well, I found out he'd been in the hospital. I went to see him. Changed man, just completely changed human being. And I'm telling you, just difference between daylight and dark. He wanted me to read to him, talk with him about the Bible and, you know, and thank God I did, you know, because ultimately Mr. DeWee died. But when he died, now you got to understand his family wasn't sanctified yet. They hadn't accepted the Lord. They got in a fight at the funeral home. I was there. I saw it. Can you imagine being in a fight at the funeral? They got in a fist fight at the funeral home in the hallway outside where his body was over just a little bit of money he had in the bank. I mean, he was so poor, he couldn't pay attention. That's how poor he was, and they were fighting over his money. But I thought, how much the devil wanted me to take the bait of offense. How much the devil wanted me to take the bait. It wasn't just someone not noticing me when we walked down the hall. It was somebody cussing me with everything. I'm telling you, that man said words that I hadn't heard before. I mean, he let me have it. But you know what I did? Listen to me. I'm telling you how to keep from being offended. I held my peace. I didn't know I was doing it at the time. It had to be a supernatural grace from God. But see, I have learned over the years to treasure my personal peace. I treasure my peace. My job is not to straighten you out. My job is not to, I love you, I care about you, I'll do anything I can to help you, but you know what? It's not my job to chase after you. That's not. A lot of people come to church, that's what they think the pastor's getting paid for and all. My job is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it's to equip you so that you, everybody say me, can do the work of the ministry. Now, see, I'm telling you this story about Mr. DeWee so that you can start visiting people. And if they cuss you out, you won't run off. You won't get your feelings hurt. Amen. You'll stand and hold your peace. You remember all through the scripture, Jesus would tell them, hold your peace. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. In other words, listen, treasure that peace that you have on the inside of you. Don't, and I've tried this, don't cast your pearls before the swine. They will turn on you and trample your pearls. You cast those pearls before the swine when that offense is trying to work in you and you want to do something externally. Exercise faith externally. Listen to me now, as an appearance. Well, we're all Christians. We're supposed to love each other. Let me tell you something. When Narj DeWee was cussing me out, I didn't feel a bit of love toward him. I didn't feel love toward him. I just didn't know what to do with him. I'd never had anybody sober to do me that way before. It wasn't that I was such a super saint. I just didn't know what to do with the man. Are you with me? But now I know, looking back, how the Lord protected me and caused me to value and treasure the peace that was within me and for me to hold my peace and not to, listen, not to take His offense into my heart. He had been offended at something in his life. Some Christian or preacher had done something to him that hurt him. He took it and harbored it for years and years and years. And when I came up on the scene, he just puked all that out on me. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God I didn't put my thumb in my mouth. I can't believe that man treated me that way. Let me tell you something. My expectations and our expectations can't be on what people do or don't do. That is so hard sometimes because we want them to do something. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. In other words, we're going to find that comfort, that solace, that direction, that wisdom, that life from the Word of God, not from man. Amen. So notice this now. You here with me in Luke 17. I love this. Look in verse 3. We're closing here with this. Take heed to yourselves. Verse 3. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, or, you know, forgive me, I'm sorry, I realize I was wrong, thou shalt forgive him. Notice what the next thing they ask. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Did you notice it wasn't necessarily to buy a new car? It wasn't to get that house. It wasn't to get that job. It was talking about dealing with the offense that a brother will bring to you. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Let me tell you what that tells me. That tells me that faith needs to be something that we are exercising within us. It needs to be something, you know, a lot of times Jesus said, speak unto the mountain, say unto the mountain, be thou removed. I'm convinced that the mountain is in here. It's in our hearts more than it is externally. That mountain is internal. And listen, when religion is birthed, is when people are trying to use faith externally for an appearance when they are holding and harboring offenses in their heart they've not yet dealt with and offered to the Lord. I hope that's clear. I hope you can get that. Because it's so important for us to have a clear conscience. Listen, toward God and toward man. Toward God and toward man. That we don't let those offenses gather up in our hearts. That we don't let those offenses rule over our lives. Listen, here's what's going to happen real quickly if you take the bait. Everybody say, I'm not going to take the bait. Number one, if you take the bait, you're going to be held captive. Narge Dewey sat on that porch and was living in poverty because he had been held captive by an offense from someone that had done him wrong. You're going to be held captive. Your life at that point can be devoured. I know this is serious, but we need to think about it. You can move over and listen to this. Everybody say, I'm listening. You can move over into the mentality of God, you owe me. Let me tell you something. God owes nothing to nobody. The debt has been paid through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you move over into that, well, Lord, I've done this, 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 it's been done, 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 and you owe me. No, that's offense harbored up in your heart. That's not taking, listen, that's not taking what God has already given us and being thankful for it. What God has already done for us and being thankful. And saying, God, I know I've served you. Let me tell you this and we'll close. I got an iPhone for my birthday. The girls got me an iPhone S. And let me tell you something. This is something else. You talk to it. I was talking to this iPhone and I said, can you tell me something, something, something? And she comes back and says, I can't find it, but would you like for me to search online for you? I said, yes. And I said, thank you. And she said, I live to serve. I'm telling you, I felt the same way. Here's this computer talking to me saying, I live to serve. I'm thinking, my Lord, let's get all of our church members living to serve. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Folks, let me tell you something. Let's guard our hearts from offenses. Let's guard our hearts. There's no reason to let offenses creep into our lives and rob us and take that bait. We're not going to take that bait. Can you say amen? Amen. Everybody say it out loud. Lord, I'm not taking that bait. In Jesus' name. Everybody, if you would, bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. I'm not taking that bait. This is a